Last time we began chapter 4 of Ephesians, and the title of our passage from verses 1 to 6 was A Walk Worthy. And we ran out of time, and I just wanted to go over Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, to review it a little bit, and then finish up the study on Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. But before we do that today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this honor and privilege to open up thy very words. Father, we pray that you'd bless the study, bless the listener, bless your word as it goes out, and as you promise, as it returns, it would not return void. Bless us now. We commit this time into thy hands. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. A Walk Worthy, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. And we looked at that chapter, and we saw that the word worthy, amen, means to make sure that you live your life so that it is worth the calling that Christ has called you to do in the body of Christ. And we saw that that word worthy means deserving, such as merits, possessing worth of excellence, of quality, suitable, having qualities suited to. Now, once you've found out what God has called you to do in the body of Christ, we looked at some simple rules about our walk. We need to walk, to make that walk to be worthy of the calling that Christ has called you to. We need to walk with lowliness, we saw. We need to walk with meekness. We need to walk with long-suffering. We need to walk with forbearance. And then we saw that we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And we need to endeavor to keep the bond of peace. And also we need to endeavor to keep the body. There is only one body, amen, and that is the literal resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the throne, into which we are baptized when we get saved. And we are to endeavor to keep the Spirit, amen. We talked about how evil spirits, amen, have crept into the church, amen. The doctrines of devils and seducing spirits have infiltrated. And we're beginning to see that falling away and the strong delusion that the Apostle Paul talked about in the end times. And then we see, we talked about the hope of your calling. And this has to do with the resurrection, according to Paul. So we're to love his appearing, Christ appearing, and look for the blessed hope. And we're saved by hope. We also saw that we endeavor to keep the Lord, our Lord. We have one Lord, as it says in verse 5. One Lord, amen. And the Lord, of course, is plainly Jesus Christ. And then, as we were running out of time, we also saw that we have one Lord and one faith in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 4. And when we say faith, there's faith in the words of God that saves you and grows you. Not faith as in religious practice, amen. And then, of course, faith is a big topic today. The word is used to demonstrate the works of the flesh or to make money off of people, amen. And then we also saw that we have one baptism. And we're speaking of spirit baptism. Spirit baptism takes place the instant that you as an individual believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the words of God say this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So we're baptized into one body, the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, whoever you are, amen, we're all baptized into one body, amen, the body of Christ, made up of all believers, amen, in Jesus Christ, and of course the body of Christ is the church, the true church, amen, made up of all saved, born-again believers, amen. Now, the thing we need to remember when it says the one baptism, this is not the baptismal regeneration, for instance. There are many false religions that profess that water baptism saves you. And water baptism, the only thing water baptism does is get you wet. Water baptism, total immersion after a person is saved, amen, is an act of obedience. It shows that you're, when you're buried in the likeness of his death, and then when you come up out of the water, it's a picture of resurrection to a new life in Christ. Amen. And then, of course, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, one God, the one true God. It's not Allah, for instance, and it's not the God of Judaism that causes a Jew to reject Jesus Christ. Our God is one in three persons. I want us to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 with me, if you would. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 7. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the words of God say this: For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, that's God the Father. The Word, capital W, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Amen. So we see the one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. Okay, so now what we want to do is we're going to continue our study in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Amen. As we continue our study in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read first verses 8 to 10. In the passage here, this study could be entitled, or we'll entitle it, He Led Captivity Captive. He Led Captivity Captive. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, after Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, he spent 3 days and three nights in the lower parts of the earth. Now, while he was there, he spent time in hell and in Abraham's bosom where the Old Testament saints were. After 3 days and three nights, he ascended up to heaven and took the souls that were in Abraham's bosom with him. This is when he led captivity captive. And then he returned to the earth until his ascension in Acts chapter 1. And now he is seated in heavenly places next to the throne of God, awaiting the rapture and ultimately his second coming. Now, during his ministry, Jesus told the Pharisees that he would spend three nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. We need to go to the Gospel of Matthew right now. And if you go to Matthew, let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And in verse number 40 of Matthew 12, the words of God say this: For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he was, at the time, he was not referring to Joseph of Arimathea's grave, which was a tomb hewn out of a rock over which a stone was rolled at the door. No, he was referring literally to the heart of the earth, a place in its interior. We're going to look at two places in Scripture, Acts chapter 2, verses 25 to 32, and then in Psalm 16, verse 10, it shows us that Jesus was, in fact, in hell. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 first, chapter 2 of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, the words of God read this, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption." Here he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us under the stake." So obviously, he's referring to, here it's talking about David. David's dead and buried. But in verse 27, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that his soul would be not left in hell, and that the Lord Jesus Christ's body would not see corruption. Amen. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn unto an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul," see this now, "was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all, we are witnesses." So here's Peter's preaching the Messiah, crucified, risen. Amen? The work of miracles. Now, we want to also look in Psalm 16 in verse 10. So we need to turn to Psalm 16 and we'll look at verse 10. Notice what it says. Again, referring to us to show that Jesus Christ was in fact in hell for a while. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Now, from there, he would be able to see the souls of the Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom. Amen? So while Jesus was in hell, he could see the souls of the Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom. Notice, if you would, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 16. We need to go to Luke 16. And once you get to Luke 16, we want to look at verses 22 to 26 in Luke 16. The words of God say this: "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." See? So, we see that Lazarus the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And then we see the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So here the rich man's in hell, and he seeth, he was able to see Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, in Abraham's bosom. See? So while Christ was there in hell, he could look and see the Old Testament saints, amen, in Abraham's bosom. So not only could he see them, but he also visited them and preached to them, amen. Notice with me If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, we need to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Notice what it says. The words of God say this: For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went, here it is, and preached unto the spirits in prison. Amen? And then also, look with me, in 1 Peter chapter 4. We need to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 6. The words of God say this: For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, therefore, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, he was referring to the thief being with him in Abraham's bosom, where paradise was until the resurrection. Now, on the day that Jesus arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven for the first time after his resurrection. Notice with me that in John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus told Mary not to touch him because he had not yet ascended to the Father. Notice. Let's go to John chapter 20 and look at verse 17. Gospel of John with me, chapter 20, verse 17. The words of Almighty God say this: Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Amen. Now, yet on the same day, he allowed the Marys of Matthew 28 to hold him by the feet. Look in Matthew chapter 28 with me, in verse 9. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 9, we read this: As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. See that? So therefore, he ascended up in that short period of time and returned. Amen. From the time that he told Mary not to touch him, because he had not yet ascended to the Father. And here we see, shortly afterwards, they hold him by his feet. So he went up and he came back in a short period of time. So why did he go up and come back so quickly? Well, the reason for this initial ascension was so that he could, among other things, carry the souls of the Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom up to heaven. See? Notice that God gave us evidence that the souls were up and that many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose that night. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter 27 with me. Matthew chapter 27. Now in Matthew chapter 27, we want to look at the words of God and see what it says in verses 52 to 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. See that? Now, as a result, paradise is no longer in Abraham's bosom. Paradise is now instead in the third heaven. Look with me in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we want to look at verses 1 to 4 together. We read this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Howbeit that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So here Paul is speaking about himself, and I believe this happened when he was stoned and left dead on the road. But we see that now paradise is in the third heaven, is no longer in the center of the earth in Abraham's bosom. Amen. Now, after Jesus returned to the earth, he spent 40 days with his disciples. Amen. Notice with me in Acts chapter 1, book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, notice what the words of God say. To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So then he ascended up to heaven the second time. And we read in that same chapter 1 of the book of Acts in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And then we see recorded also in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verses 50 and 51, we read this. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, where he is currently seated next to the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 1, notice. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse number 3, we read this. Who being the brightness of his glory, speaking about Christ, was the brightness of God's glory, in the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See? Now, at the appointed time, he will return to take the church out of the earth at the rapture. See? In the rapture, first of all, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice with me what we read beginning in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, didn't want them to be ignorant about those brethren who had trusted Christ who had died. And he wanted them not to be ignorant, not to sorrow as others who were not saved, who had no hope. And he tells them why they didn't have to sorrow. He says, for if we believe, in verse 14, that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, in that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So here's the order of the rapture. Those who have died in Christ at his coming, who are in the grave, will come up first. And then in verse 17, then we which are alive, those of us that are alive when Christ return, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that was true in Paul's day, in our days. So, when we lose a loved one who has died, trusting Christ as their personal Savior, we don't have to sorrow. We're sad, amen, that they're gone, that we've lost them in our flesh. We need to sorrow and grieve. But we don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope, those that die that never trusted Christ. They don't know where they're going, but we know where they're going if they haven't trusted Christ. Amen. See, we can be comforted knowing that we will see them again. Amen. When the Lord returns. And then also, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a great chapter on the resurrection. Amen. We want to read also it talks about the rapture here. Beginning in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, we read this. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. So the rapture is going to happen as quickly as you can, as fast as you can twinkle an eye. See? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So those who are in the grave, the bodies that have corrupted, are going to come up in incorruption. They're going to have a new glorified body. And our mortal bodies, if we're alive when he returns, will put on a new glorified body. We'll put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, in this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. So he's going to return. He'll come after the tribulation and rule the world for 1,000 years. We need to go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 with me in verse number 6. We read this. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen to that. And then we read in chapter 5 of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10. We read this. And hath made us, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. In the interim between the ascension of Jesus Christ and the rapture, Jesus has provided ministers who handle the work of the ministry in Jesus' absence. And this is what we'll study next time. So that concludes our study today. I hope you'll join me as we continue our journey in and through the book of Ephesians. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.